Welcome, welcome, welcome to another awesome episode of the Sex and Horror Podcast with authors Dicey Grinner and
Chantel Renee. Yay.
Michelle Bergen.
And we have
Michelle Bergen
on
our special guest.
Yes. Chantel, I'm going to take a back seat this time and let you rock and roll.
Oh boy, you guys, this could be trouble. So we have a special guest. We have a special guest author. We introduce yourself, darling.
I'm Michelle Bergen, and I write sci-fi, supernatural, erotic romance.
Nice. Now you're here in Texas, right?
I am. I'm right here in Houston with you guys.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Yep.
Oh, nice.
Hey, we're going to talk about some hot topic tonight, guys. Dicey and I have been talking about, but we hadn't had a chance. And now we have a fellow Texan on the line. We'll get to it soon.
Okay.
So just so you know, Michelle, how this works, we are recording visually and audially. So there will be people who can't see what we're saying because they're just listening to it. And then there'll be some that are watching us, too. I hope you guys log in, though, because she has some awesome red. How long have you been rocking the red?
Since last night.
Oh!
Oh! Well, I love it. A girl who likes to change her hair color as often as I do.
Yeah. It was blue and purple, or green and purple, just like last week, so.
That was good for St. Patty's.
Yeah.
So now, have you always lived in Houston? Are you from here?
No, I've been up here for a little over 15 years, but we had recently moved to Oregon and then we came back in June. So we've been traveling around a little bit, but I'm originally from South Texas, from a small town called Kingsville.
So what was it called?
Kingsville.
Kingsville. Okay, nice.
Where the King Ranch is from.
I see. Well, I'm curious, since you're from that part of Texas and that kind of lifestyle, do you think that affected your writing? Because you are a sci-fi writer. You said you like some science fiction.
Yeah, there is a lot of like Tex-Mex to my writing and to my characters, because back home it's very Tex-Mex. And like my main character's favorite curse word is chingao, because that's always been my favorite curse word growing up.
Chinga.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
What is that?
It's like F you and son of a mother of son of a bitch, and like a whole, it gives me a whole bunch of different things depending on what context you're using it in.
Ooh, I'm gonna start using it.
It's a slang term, yeah.
Yeah. And then some of my characters in the second book even kind of talk a little Tex-Mex, where like part of the words are in English and part of the words are in Spanish. So yeah, I would say definitely it influenced a lot of like characters and stuff in my books. And the background, like everything's like all the cities and everything are here in Texas.
So do you have like a school, like schooling or anything in the science world? What brought you to sci-fi?
Well, I've always liked sci-fi ever since I was a kid with Star Trek and all that. But anything really that's kind of, I've always loved like astrology and all like the zodiac signs and all that. So anything kind of that related to that kind of stuff, I've always been into. I originally, though, went to school to be a band director, and then I was an art major. So, but I was always good in science. So I always, you know, did well in those classes as well.
Now, do you lean towards heavy sci-fi or fantasy?
A little bit of both. And I guess it really depends on, like, this book is not, it's sci-fi, but it's not like, you know, that super high sci-fi where it's all super technical and everything. But I do have a short story series that is very, very science fiction, with like some fantasy put in there. So
okay, that's cool.
Michelle,
like the writing.
Yeah. For you to be here in Houston, why haven't we seen you at any of the events?
Because I literally just had my first book come out in September.
Oh, congrats.
Okay.
Congrats. So I'm still very much a newbie.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm going to be out here at Spring, though, at the beginning of April at Copperfield Books local and indie author fair. Mm-hmm. And then the following weekend, I'm having a book signing at the Barnes & Noble's on 1960 and Champions. So those are going to be some events where people can find me at. Awesome. And then, of course,
now, are you
the Texas
Are you indie or are you with a publishing house?
That was my question.
I am with a small publisher. We are 50-50, or yeah, like a 50-50. We share profits.
Nice. Okay. Is it local?
No, actually, it's based out of Canada.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. But they're a great little publishing company. You know, I sent in my manuscript. The owner of the company usually vets all the manuscripts. And she was like, I really love this. She's like, can you go back and just make a few tweaks for me? And she had left me some notes on things that she kind of wanted me to change some things, held my ground on some other things. And we finally came to an agreement and she signed me. So.
Nice.
That's fantastic. Dicey, you got any questions? You look like you're ready to say something.
You know, I'm always ready, girl. Stay ready. You don't have to get ready. Yeah, so this is an interesting process because we've had authors from all different backgrounds and ways that they get into releasing their work. So it's interesting to have someone who is a newly released author of their debut novel and haven't gone through the traditional publishing route. So, you know, this is a good perspective for our listeners and watchers who are curious about that process. So I'm glad that you went through that a little bit. That was good. Y'all, I'm sorry. I am having some issues with the pollen. So I'm going to trying to talk all that. And I know my voice, I'm in deep into the bass, but that's what's going on, just in case you were wondering. But so did they also edit the book for you? Did they edit and format and all that?
Yes, they did. And it was funny because I was actually in the middle of taking some graphic design classes that actually had a ebook formatting course in it, because I was like, okay, with nothing else, I can do this myself and I can take this class and learn how to format. And then I got signed and they're like, oh, don't worry about it. We do all that for you. So, and then we had a cover artist who helped me design the cover as well. And, her and I went back and forth maybe about an hour or so, different looks, and finally came up with the one that we put on the cover. And everybody has wound up liking it. So I was like, well, at least we did a good job there.
Good.
Did you get an advance? Do you know?
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Did you get an advance? This is for the people who are interested in going that route. Did you get an advance? Because that's usually what happens with the traditional route, right?
No, it normally is depending on the publisher, but no, with this one, it was no fees up front, no payment to me. They took the book, we started editing, and both of us make money when I sell.
Okay. But that's awesome because as a newly released author, your debut book, you're already having a signing at Barnes & Noble. So kudos. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a different route, and I wasn't so hung up on getting that advance that you know a lot of people get hung up on. I just wanted to put the story out and see what people had to say, and you know, see was I even talented enough, I guess you could say, for people who do want to read the story or be interested in the story that you know I was telling.
What kind of storyteller are you? Do you focus on the characters or just the story itself? Or is there something that you really wanted to get out in the overall concept of what you're saying there?
Well, kind of a little bit of all of it. At least I was trying to anyway. the book is, the main character is a plus size single mom. And as you all well know, there's not a lot of plus size women as lead characters out there in stories. And also not a lot of plus size women out there as lead characters that are strong women that, you know, go out there and get the job done and they don't need anybody else's help to get it done kind of thing. And ones that are secure in themselves and their own sexuality. So I was trying hard to have that in that character, but also have a good story and build a good world for everybody to kind of fall into and be involved in. And it's a small world because it's on a spaceship, but you know, I was trying to make it immersive enough that you could really fall into the story. And then also, like I said, have a good storyline where it's not all just sci-fi or not all just about the sex. There was a good balance between the two.
That's good. It's interesting you mentioned that because I remember I have I'm considered plus size, but I have a friend who's considered plus size and she's a little bit bigger than me. And she was always talking about she wanted to see more representation from her size perspective, right? And right. So I remember there was this book that came out. I don't remember the title or the author or anything like that, but as soon as I saw it, it was a freebie and it was clearly about a plus size woman. So I sent her this link. I was like, hey, this is exactly what you've been looking for. And she wrote me back. So I sent it to her and she wrote me back like a few days later, like, girl, don't ever send me no mess like that again. The whole time, the woman was so pissed off and upset and so insecure and kept talking about her weight and talking about how, you know, she was whining the whole time about it. And I was like, oh my God, girl, I did not know. I didn't read it. I saw it and it looked like it was going to be what you were talking about. So I sent it to you. So I read the book after that and she was so right. And I started paying attention a little bit more when right. plus size women are portrayed in books. It's always from that being a character flaw. It's not that they're standing right. in, this is who I am, and this is me, accept it, you know, it, right. and be confident and fulfilled in that. It was always from a place of, oh, is this guy gonna like me because I'm plus size, and you know, and so I started noticing that. So I think you're onto something there.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I wanted to get away from. And not only just plus size women characters in books, but you get that a lot with even the smaller women characters in books where they're whining about like, oh, is this person going to like me or am I enough for this person? Or they can't find their strength until a man comes in and shows them how strong they are. Mm-hmm. I wanted my characters to be strong from the moment they hit the page. And know what needed to get done, know that they are going to have to go out there and make the hard decisions, whether they liked it or not, and carry on and make it. Like, the point of this, you know, book is they're trying to get back to Earth. So, and she's like, I don't care what else happens, but that's what we're going. We're getting back to Earth with or without everybody else, you know, so... But yeah, I didn't like all of that either. And a lot of times plus size women were like the side characters or the best friends that were, you know, just quiet and wanted to please everybody. And I'm like, no, we're not all like that. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of us that are take charge kind of people, go get the job done.
Nice.
Yeah, 100%. Now you mentioned earlier you did some schooling with art. I noticed on your Instagram you do some different art stuff. Well, tell us about your art.
Pretty much anything that's creative I do. Lately I've been working a lot on fluid art. I don't know if y'all know what that is. And so I've been working with like flip cups and Dutch pours where you take the blow dryer and you blow out the watered down paint and create a design with it. But I also do photography. I'm part of a community called ViewBug and I've won several awards on there for my photography. I paint, I draw, make jewelry, you name it. If it's creative, I'll sit down and do it.
Yeah, we talk about
that. That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot. Usually people who are creative, it translates into a lot of different areas.
So yeah, the brain can't really just stop at one place.
Yeah. Yeah, Chantel is a hairdresser, yeah. So there's an artistic element to that, and then she, the work behind mm-hmm. you, that's your work back there, right, behind you on the wall?
This work is not. I collect other people's things. This I created, just a little knick-knack shelf, but I do, I guess you can maybe see where creepy doll heads, and I got the strange octopus painting up there. I don't know if y'all can see that. There's another one of my paintings right there. I do various weird stuff.
Yeah.
I have a show coming up Friday, actually.
You're in Houston, Chantel has a show coming up Friday, an art show.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, you should come in now. It's at a place called the Rosewood Enchanticle Cottage. It's kind of like in the Heights area, but on the other side of 45.
Okay. On the side where the Target and all that stuff is?
No, like on the other side of 45. You're thinking you're still way back on Montrose. No, I'm
not I-10. Okay, yeah.
yeah. So it's more 610 and 45.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's so great. We have, and they're a great place. They would love to feature any local artists. So maybe you can show her some of your stuff, bring some photos and show her some of your stuff. She does Friday and Saturday night events for local artists.
Okay. Yeah, I could print up some photos and stuff. I got some really good ones of the coastline of Oregon while we were up there. So.
yeah, you can have some of your stuff.
That's so great. I love that you're so artistic.
Yeah.
If I wasn't, I don't know if I would stay sane.
yeah.
It gave me a heart attack. She came up and hit me on the shoulder. I was like, what's that?
it's the pretty kitty.
And that's also.
Go ahead, Dicey.
I was going to say, we've talked about this before, Chantel, but that's also what's really heartbreaking about people who become serial killers and stuff like that. It's like we all have that darkness that we want to get out, but some of us don't go get semi-automatics and shoot up people. Some of us turn to art and get it out in a creative way. So, go learn how to play music. Go learn how to sing. Go learn how to draw. Go learn how to paint. Go learn how to be a sculptor. Go learn how to write. Do something other than take it out on other people in a violent way.
Right.
So it's sanity.
It is. But the sad thing is those people often have mental health issues that are severe enough that unless they're kept on a strict regimen of drugs, it's very hard for them to tell reality from fiction in a lot of cases. My mom was a psychologist.
Oh, nice.
And her specialty was serial killers and sexual deviants.
Oh, wow.
That's surprising you didn't get into horror.
I know. And Freddy Krueger is one of my favorite movies ever since I was a little kid. Like, I would watch him all the time. But no, the erotic romance stuff was more up my alley.
yeah.
So what between a 1 and a 5 hot chili peppers, how hot do your romance stories get?
Well, this one is a 3. A friend of mine said probably a 3.5. So, some of the other ones might get a little spicier or maybe considered more spicier depending on what's going on in them, but usually at least a 3.
Okay. Any inanimate objects involved in these scenes?
Sorry. No, not in this one.
You never know. I might give her ideas.
People need to turn to more literary pornography now, especially here in Texas, now that Pornhub has been shut down for Texans.
That's right. That's what I was going to get us into. Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. Our legislative here, my legislatures, our governor, I believe, has made sure that Texans can't type in Pornhub and go to the site. It's a little more involved than that. I won't get into all the legalities, but bottom line is you can't go to Pornhub right now unless you got a VPN in here.
If you live in Texas.
But I will say that I'm Like, what good is that doing? Because you can still go to X videos.
Right. There's so many sites. Well, Pornhub is actually the one who's taking the stand.
Right, right. That's why, that's why I was saying there's a little more legalities to it than that. Because if you go to Pornhub.com website, don't ask me how I know this. If you go, they have information there explaining what's happening. So they go into detail, and that they're just like, you know what, just forget it, Texas. Don't worry about it.
Well, and two, if you go to Pornhub, they have stats for every state. And for the U.S. And Texas isn't like in the top 10 of states that visit the site.
Now,
sorry. My sinus and allergies have been acting up today too.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, in Texas we are experiencing what we like to call the oak tree semen covering. We have oak pollen all over everything here right now.
Yeah, my throat.
Just mentioning it, is
scratching like crazy.
It dries us out. It's horrific, you guys. Here in Texas, we have our major allergy season.
You okay?
No, it
we got her upset. No more Pornhub.
Right?
She was like, where am I going to get my writing inspiration from?
Right. No, just my throat got dry. But I hadn't heard that they had trying to stop us from being able to get into Pornhub.
Well, what it is Texas is now requiring that you log in and state, like, try to give your information, like how old you are, every time you log on to their site. And instead of going into compliance with that, they said, you know what? Fuck a bunch of this. Y'all can just go back to the old ages and go buy some dirty magazines.
Boy, your VHS is out.
Texas has gotten kicked out. That's okay. I mean, you know, like you said, there's a million other sites people can go to.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting, though, and I see a lot of arguments about how...
We pause for just a minute so I can get some more water.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm so sorry about that. One second.
It happens.
We'll just keep yapping while she's gone. It's gonna be hell on me to edit. Try to keep this as easy.
No, I understand.
It's easy on me.
No, but I don't see how it's going to change anything. If anything, I think it's just their way of getting back at our lovely governor by doing what they're doing.
Yeah, I have I've seen the arguments where people. About how porn is disturbing the nuclear family and people being addicted to it, how it causes men to be more aggressive towards women, and that there's also the debate about women being trafficked and that minors are involved. So I see all the negative stuff that's out there. I'm on the other side. I'm also wondering, though, for those people, when we're talking about creative outlets, what about the good side, the people who make money because this is their chosen field to do it, and this is them taking autonomy over their bodies and making money. And then the people who use it as an outlet for sexual frustrations instead of taking that out on someone that's close to them. So it's the porn.
Women or men who are trying to not stay, who are trying to be faithful in a marriage that may not be having, you know, the same sexual need on one side or the other. So there's so many, you know, there's so much out there. I don't know. It's hard to justify for both cases. I think it's a matter of our constitution is what it is. And we, you know, the internet is like the Wild West. I mean, it really is.
It is. There's not a lot of rules that govern it. But at the same time, it's the place where everybody goes to show their creativeness, and regardless of the form. So it's just like this band that they're trying to push through for TikTok.
Yeah.
So that's crazy too. Why are they so worried about TikTok and what's going on TikTok?
Out of all the things that's happening in this world, they can push this through fast. I think it was 8 days.
Really fast. Yeah. And it went
through on the House, and overwhelmingly yes votes. So these are very interesting times, and the whole reasoning behind that for TikTok privacy, you know, they're going with privacy, and I'm using air quotes because come on now, you know, good and well, you're not worried about, especially if Meta is everywhere and everything is getting leaked everywhere, but you're coming after TikTok. So we're living in some strange times.
Oh, we are.
Well, it does give us some, I guess, as creatives, it gives us some fuel, right? You know, because especially with sci-fi, you know, there's so many ways you can go, like, what if they make, you know, tougher laws about sexual behavior and, so, you know, like, what would how would that affect everything? What are the ripple effects of all these things? Lately I've been on a soapbox. I don't know if I've been telling Dicey this or not. I might have told you. I am freaked out by this Japanese thing that's happening right now. If you go on TikTok and you look at hashtag crazy Japanese men or Japanese men in inappropriate Japanese men, apparently this has been something that's been happening for the last 3 decades or so, but it's just gotten progressively worse, where Japanese men are very aggressive to women on the streets of Japan, in the cities.
Yeah.
And to the point that they have their phones, cell phones, no longer have the capability of turning off the sounds the camera makes, because men were going around taking pictures under skirts, turning on their recording devices to record women next to them, all kinds of stuff. So yeah, you can go on TikTok and just see the most craziest shit. I'm like, what is happening?
Well, even if you go to other porn sites, Pornhub, you know, the XXN or whatever that other one is called, and you even just look at the porn that comes from those countries, it's wild. The things that they do, it's just crazy. And I'm just like, why? Like, what does some of that stuff, I'm just like, what does it have to do with anything other than y'all are just seeing how far you can push a human body? And that's it.
Yeah. And, you know, Chantel, when you mentioned that about, you know, what was going on in Japan, and I said that I hadn't heard of that one, but there was something else that I heard on in another country. It was South Korea. I think it's called the 4B movement, where women are basically saying, you know what, we're not having any more kids, and we're not getting married, and we're not laying with y'all, and good luck, peace out, we prefer our peace.
Yeah. I've heard
I'm liking
about
that movement. I sent around a meme today to, I don't know if I sent it to you, D, I might have, whereas this woman's like, hey, we always talk about these different areas of a woman's life where, you know, like when she wants to have a child and she's like, oh, you know, I want to have children. She's like, what about when you get to the point in your life where you just want to move into the middle of the woods in this haunted ass house and become the most powerful evil bitch witch that you can be and curse every motherfucker that comes around you because you have no more fucks to get?
Yeah.
Right. Shit was hilarious. I was like, hey, yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of in that era.
Right. I'm just kind of like, let me just live out here and do my own thing. And I'm not worried about everybody else.
Do you have a significant other or a partner?
I do not. I am single.
Okay.
I am the.
I joined some dating websites, but they have been wild. And I'm just like, wow.
Tell us some stories. What's the most recent crazy website dating app thing that happened?
I joined a couple just this past week, just to kind of see what was out there, what was going on. But it just flabbergasts me that these guys get on there and you start a conversation and then they'll say three or four things and then they never finish the conversation. It's like, okay, y'all complain because when y'all are on the apps, women don't talk to y'all. But when women are trying to talk to you, you don't finish the conversation. Like, I don't get it, that part. But previously, there has been some extra wild people who have contacted me. One guy, he was extremely obsessed with how large his penis was, and every conversation had revolved around it. And I'm like, can we talk about something else? And he was like, yeah, we'd start a conversation about something else, and then somehow or another, he'd bring it right back around. I was like, okay, so if we can't talk about your penis, we can't have a conversation about anything else. I was like, all right. Mm. He was wild. And he kept,
he should have took his penis on the date.
Right? Well, we hadn't even got on a date yet. We were just talking, trying to get to know each other. I kept trying to set up a date, but he didn't really want to go out in public anywhere because I guess he couldn't really talk about his penis out in public.
Right. That was
probably because he was married.
That's what I figured. Or had a girlfriend somewhere that he didn't want anybody to see him out with somebody else. Because you know the saying, are you single or are you Houston single?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what a creep. Did he ever try to have a picture of it?
He did send me a picture of it, but it was a really distorted picture. So I was like, okay, so obviously you're lying, or otherwise this would have been crystal clear and proud and out there for everybody in the world to see.
I would have had a bow tie on.
Exactly. And I was like, thanks, no, but I'll move on. Yeah. But yeah, and
I mean, girl, you know, I'm missing nothing right now. Syphilis is at an all-time high in Houston.
Oh really? God. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. There's like all these infomercials going on about how prolonged syphilis can affect your body.
Yeah. Mm. Well, there's a lot of immigrants coming in too. And unfortunately, third world countries don't have the vaccinations and the drugs and stuff that we have. Mm. So they could be long-term carriers of stuff like that. And you know, if they're sleeping with somebody and don't tell them, I could see why there's a lot of, you know, warnings out there.
Mm.
Could be. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you mean to tell me that even if we were to get a hall pass, or if we were to, you know, decide to break free one day and just go wild, then we got to be faced with all these other issues.
Yep. Unfortunately. And in Houston, it's wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely
about something.
It's been getting wilder and wilder around here.
Yeah,
I wonder what we're gonna see, you know, in the next 5 years with the law, the legislation being the way it is, and women getting so angry, and you know, I mean, it's just gonna be an interesting world to be in.
Yeah. Because I think it'll boil down more and more to kind of like it is right, or at least the men I've ran into in Houston, they don't want a relationship. They don't want to be tied down because women aren't what women are supposed to be. Because a lot of them are intimidated if you're a strong, independent woman. They want somebody they can control and boss around and basically pull the wool over their eyes to have them at home working, taking care of everything, including the kids, while they're out running around cheating all day. And I think it'll just get to more and more of that, or we'll wind up with more and more of the little boys trying to hit on us. I don't know how many 18, 19, 20 year olds keep trying to hit me up on these dating websites. I'm like, I'm old enough to be your mom.
Girl, you have said a word right there.
It is ridiculous.
Yeah, that is a whole word. One of those videos popped into my TikTok yesterday. I think the dude was like 22, and it was a joke, but it was supposed to be like when when it's always the young guys that are that won't stay out of your DM. They're being the most aggressive, and you finally give one a chance. And so the comments, though, there were so many comments like, man, those are the most aggressive ones. And women were ranging from 48 to 60 that were saying that they were getting hit on all the time by 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. And I was like, you know what? I'm having the same experience.
Yeah, I'm just like, what is going on? Like, because when I was that age, guys that age were like, ooh, that's gross. Like, I would never go out with somebody who, you know, was that much older than us. But now it's like they're out there specifically looking for women that are that much older. And I'm like, did you not finish getting raised by your mamas? Do you need somebody to finish raising you? What's going on?
I will say that the women had positive comments, though. They were saying that, you know, they gave one a chance and it was the best thing they ever did.
Well, Demi swears up and down Ashton was the best thing she did, but you know, you see how that worked out too. But I don't know. I couldn't see myself dating somebody that's almost the same age as my daughter. Yeah. So, because my daughter's 24, and I couldn't see dating somebody that's that age.
Yeah, that's what you mean.
Now, talking about dating, you ladies have all been in relationships, and I'm sure people listening have been in a few. What mm-hmm. is with our partners always trying to get us to do, like, just sit around and do stuff with them only? And then you're like, okay, I'm going to stay home. And then they're in the other fucking part of the house. Now, why don't they be in the same room with you? What the fuck is up with that?
They just wanted you home with them. That's all. They didn't necessarily want you with them. They just wanted you home with them. It's like the kids. The kids want you home where they know where you're at. But well, they don't want to be around you. I see the baby playing with something back there.
Yeah, that's spooky head. Diana back there. She's entertaining.
Right. None of mine have gotten up right behind me. Mine are usually nosy too and want to see everything going on.
Now, being from Houston and you've kind of traveled all over, have you ever experienced anything creepy? Like, we always talk about ghosts and, like, sightings of things. Where's the most, the creepiest thing you've ever seen and what state?
Well, I don't know if it was necessarily, okay, so there's a couple. Now, there was one, it was when I was little, I guess I was maybe 8 or 9. My mom's best friend's mother-in-law lived next door to a cemetery. And we went down there to go, it was in the valley, you know, in McAllen. So we went down, was staying the weekend. Me and my mom's best friend's daughter had stayed up late and we were messing around upstairs and we ran to one of the windows because we heard a bunch of noise outside. And when we looked out into the graveyard, we could see ghosts moving around in the graveyard. And so we watched for a while and then, you know, finally we went to bed. So we were telling my mom and then the next day and they were like, oh, y'all didn't see ghosts in the graveyard. We're like, yes, we did. And then there used to be a story in our hometown. There was a lady who lived on a street that I lived on and she got killed. And I don't remember exactly how she got killed, but her husband and her kids, I believe, got killed with her, I think was the story. But anyway, point being is she would walk down the street in a white dress calling for her family. And so one night, I don't know if it was because we were drunk or because she was really there, but we thought we saw her walking down the street, like calling for her people. But definitely, right after I had my daughter, the guy that I was dating, who we thought was my daughter's father, his mom had passed away the year before. And she came to visit me early one morning. And she was talking to me about my daughter and about how she was happy that, you know, she was born and all this stuff. And it was like one of those split second kind of things, like right as you're kind of waking up and you're kind of looking around, but she was literally standing right in front of me talking to me. And I had never seen his mom before. So when I had asked him, what did his mom look like? He described her exactly the way I had seen her. So it wasn't like an imagination type of thing, because I didn't know what she looked like. And it was her standing there in front of me talking to me. And then other than that, 8-9 years ago now, I lost my son. And when I was in the hospital after the emergency C-section, he came to see me before he left with my grandma. And he came to talk to me, but he wasn't a baby anymore. He was like 5 or 6. I guess he came in a form that could communicate with me better than an infant. And he's come to see me multiple times just to say, hey, mom, I'm okay. I'm with grandma. You know, we're waiting for you kind of thing. And so, yeah, I totally believe in it. In fact, I was just watching Ghost Hunters before we got on here.
Nice. Yeah, I definitely, we've gone ghost hunting and we've done all kinds of fun stuff, Dicey and I. And I know a lot of mediums. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Have you ever...
Do you write about any... Oh, go ahead.
What was it, Dicey?
I was just going to ask, have you ever thought about going to a medium to, you know, reach out to your son or grandmother?
I have, honestly, just because, like I said, my son has come multiple times to see me. I never really felt like I needed to, but I might if I ever feel like I need to reach out. Mm. I'm not opposed to the idea. Skeptic a little bit, yes. But, and as far as writing about some of it, I actually did. I'm finishing up book 2. I'm like 2 pages away and my characters quit talking to me, to finishing up book 2 to my first book. I was working on that today too. And I actually did write about some of it there towards the end, because one of the characters in the book gets killed. And so I didn't necessarily plan it. It was just as I was writing, that's kind of the way the story went. And so I just went with it and let all of that come out towards the end there.
Again, another reference to how we use our craft to deal with and deal with the emotions of life. And I think Dicey and I try to put that in there in shows, because we want people to know if they're going through something in life, you know, and it seems like you can't get through to the other side. You can. You just have to find a way to channel some of the stuck emotion and the stuck frustration you're having.
Yeah. Right.
And do it in some artistic way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
okay. What about sexy stories?
Do you have any let's go.
Erotic stories. What's your most erotic real life experience? Don't let your daughter do this.
Well, we're pretty open, not quite that open, but we're pretty open. Because I never wanted her to feel like she didn't have somebody to talk to about those things, or if she needed to ask questions about something, that she didn't have anywhere to go. Right. But I don't know if necessarily anything wild per se. I mean, there's been a couple of locations where you could have gotten caught if you weren't careful.
Okay.
Once at work. I worked at a bar and we were young, so it wasn't when I was like in my professional life. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the walk-in cooler was kind of fun. Needless to say, you should not do things while you're driving, because it's quite distracting and you can have a wreck.
Dinner taught us.
Yeah. So I was driving. So yeah, you get distracted easily. I had to turn off and find somewhere to stop, because I was like, we can't do this while I'm driving. I'm going to run over somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you ever put any of your stories, your real stories, your erotic stories in your erotic romance?
I do in some of them. There is a couple of scenes in this book that were based off of real things that happened. Like one of the scenes, it's one of the first sex scenes in the book. The main character, Atlanta, she is making out with what winds up becoming one of the main male characters, Knight. And he takes her to her room and he strips her and everything. And the lights are on and everything. And he's like kneeling in front of her, but he's like holding her hands kind of out to her side. And he's just looking at her. And she's like, okay, look, because she knows who she is. She knows what she looks like and she's okay with it. And that is something that happened in real life. And a guy kind of freaked out, was like, you don't care that I'm looking at you like this? And I'm like, no, I was like, you're going to eventually see me anyway. Like, we're about to have sex. So why are you so shocked? And he was like, well, most big girls that I'm with, they don't want the lights on. They don't want you to look at them a lot or anything. And I'm like, well, I'm not shy. Uh-huh. I say, look all you want and let's get to business, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, like some of that stuff is things that have happened in real life, because I mean, you write what you know, or the experiences are from experiences that you've had. So,
which is why I think all males, should, if you read, are listening or watching our show, you should read a female's perspective of sex. It right. is very important for you to understand, because this is what we are seeing in our head. This is how we experience it. And you can get a little bit more of an understanding, because for men, I think, you know, as soon as it's up, it's charged. There's no other in between. And
well, and
I think then that some, the ones that can get a little bit of extra out of that are the ones that usually we try to keep around longer.
Right. And I have a couple of guy friends that I actually talk to on a regular basis about, like, when I'm writing in things that a guy would say, or like a little bit of their perspective or whatever, I'll ask my guy friends. I have a couple of them, and they have been hands down like super excited from day one when I started asking them these questions. Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, we'll tell you anything you want to know. What do you want to know? And so I'll, like, when I have, you know, those stumps in my writing where I need something a little different, you know, I'll call them up and be like, hey, like, here's the scene. This is the situation. What's going on? How would you react in this situation? What is what you would do in this situation? And both of them are ex-lovers. So I kind of know, like, it's okay to go to them and be like, hey, what about this or that? And they've always, like, hell yeah, that's exactly what I would be doing. Or no, like, you need to change it up a little bit like this, because men think a little bit more like about it like this way versus how a woman's thinking about it. And so that's always been one of my favorite things about when I get to these scenes. If I get stuck, I know I can always call them up and be like, hey, help me out a little bit here, you know.
Spicy.
Yeah, spicy book.
Right, talk. The spicy scenes.
Huh? What'd you say?
It kept breaking up there for a moment. I couldn't hear what he said.
Spicy book talk goes into this a lot. There's, you know, you have the women that post about books and all that they're reading or writing. But it's interesting that a lot of the guys will get into spicy book talk, and they'll talk about the books that hit like the dark romance community. And so they're like, man, I didn't realize y'all like to be choked. Y'all like to be, you know, aggressed. You know, and so they're going through like Haunted Adeline and Haunted, you know, some of the more popular dark romance books. And like, right. Oh my goodness, like, I'm learning so much about what the female psyche is about when it comes to sexual experience.
Yeah.
But the thing though is that and this is where a lot of guys, I think, really miss it, is, you know, we could fantasize about one thing in our heads. That's not necessarily what we really want in real life. Like, you better make sure that the woman that you are engaging with wants you to be the person to carry this out in this manner at this time. You know, like there's so many different movies that have to line up for what we read about and fantasize about to be something that we're actually interested in real life too.
Right. Well, actually, speaking of that, I had seen one of those videos from those guys. He was reading, I don't remember if it was Sacrifice or Haunting Island or one of them, but he was going through and he read a scene or just part of it where, and he read it out loud, something about the guy grabbed her by the throat and pushed her against the wall. And so he closed the book and he looked at his wife, and his wife is in the front room like cleaning and stuff, right? So he goes in the front room and he spins her around and he grabs her by the throat and he pulls her in and tries to kiss her. And she smacks the
That's right.
I was dying laughing, like, because you did not communicate what you were about to do. Like, you know, she's in the middle of house cleaning. Her brain was nowhere near, let's have sex right now.
Right. So you can get a general idea of what but you better make sure that all the stars are lined up for what you're about to do, or you're gonna get in some trouble.
Yeah. Well, like my two guy friends that I talk to all the time, believe it or not, they were ones who actually wanted to talk about things before anything ever happened. Like, because they wanted to know what I wanted and what I was into, versus just always being the same thing, because they were also in a place where they wanted new things and they wanted to try new things. And so they were hoping that I was in the same place that I was, luckily for them. But not everybody, like a lot of times women get so insecure about themselves that they're afraid to break away from what is considered normal and try new things. And I think that's part of too, like some of these erotic books can help hopefully to help women get past those things and understand that it is perfectly okay for you to want to experiment and try something new or do something new. It's not always, doesn't always have to be up to the men to bring that to the table. And even if they are the ones who bring it to the table, if it's something you want to do, say yes, you know, don't be afraid to say yes. If you don't like it, then let them know, hey, that wasn't for me. Let's try something else.
True. Yeah.
So.
Yep. Like, I don't know. I would say a lot of people try to come out of the kink box after 50 Shades of Grey, but I think they didn't really understand what that meant. And so I would say for those who are listening, if you are very young, don't think you have to mature yourself and do things these older guys want you to do if you're not comfortable, because there was a lot of that that went around too. I remember speaking to some of the girls in our local vampire culture, and some of them were just super young, and I just thought one of the girls that I spoke to later, she was older, and as she got when she was younger, she said, oh yeah, I did a lot of things that I wasn't necessarily comfortable with, but you know, it seemed like, you know, okay, I'll try it. But I don't know, you know, I think we have to listen to the South Korean ladies on this. We have to be in charge of our destinies, ladies. We have to be in charge of our bodies, our minds. Everybody needs to watch Poor Things. We still have to do a show on that. And it is girl power to a different degree. It's not necessarily wiping all the voice off the face of the earth, but it's making your voice heard and making sure that not only do others hear, but you listen to it as well. Because a lot of times as women, we tend to introvert and not let ourselves be honest with ourselves and try to be okay with things we're not. And we just can't. We just have to, we have to be cool with what we do and what we're doing.
Don't get taken advantage of, ladies, in other words. Make sure you're doing what you want to do and not because you're trying to hold on to somebody or, you know,
impress someone or up somebody else. Yeah.
Right. And no woman, no matter their age, should be out there having sex just to please somebody else.
Right.
It should be mutual.
Unless you're getting money and you want that money.
Well, and that's a whole different situation.
I was joking about that. Definitely... Yeah, just like everybody was like, oh man, Christian Grey, we're going to do this, going to do that. But look, are you a billionaire? Are you coming in on a jet like he was? You know, you're not even...
You're giving me rings, earrings, necklaces.
Yeah, there was a long running meme.
It's yourself, motherfucker.
It said that if the only reason Christian Grey got away with it is because he lived here and it showed the penthouse, right? You live here and it was a trailer, they'd be cuffing you and taking you to jail.
You're doggone right. Yeah. And don't forget it.
Right. So I was dying laughing because that would probably be cool.
Yeah. These right. dudes broke, wanting you to pay the bills and coming in and talking about bend over and spanking. What are you spanking? You bend over.
Right. It's like, if I'm being the man here, you're going to be the bitch.
Right. Well, I'm doing the sticking today.
Right.
Yeah, better watch out, because on those dating sites, there's a lot of boys who want that.
Well, they're going to have to pay.
That could be true. That could be true.
They would have to pay too.
Right?
Well, we're getting close to the end here, ladies. Huh? We're getting close to the end here. Dicey, do you have any other questions?
No, this has been a great conversation, an extension of our Women's History Month. I enjoy that, where we're talking about women's empowerment still. It still comes out in all of our discussions, especially when we have other strong women on with us. So thank you so much, Michelle, for coming on with us. Can you tell everybody where they can find your books and where they can follow you and all that?
Yes. So this is the book, A Treacherous Heavens. It's my debut novel. You can, if you're into ebooks, you can find it on my publisher's website at ecstasybooks.com. If you want a physical copy, you can get it on Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, or anywhere just about that you can order a book from, Ingram Spark, all of those. You can follow me on Instagram at Michelle Bergen, or TikTok at author Michelle Bergen, and Facebook, it's Ridian Kane Books and Arts, author Michelle Bergen. I know that one's long, but I had made that author page match my website, because my website is Ridian Kane Books and Art, .wordpress.com. And you can see short stories there. You can see a couple of my other blogs there that I've done in the past and kind of keep up with sometimes now. And then like some of my photography and stuff is also on there.
Mm-hmm. I noticed you have your banner behind you.
Oh yeah.
Did you get that done, or did your publisher get that done for you?
No, I designed the logo and everything, and then I sent it to Vista Print, and okay. They printed it for me.
It looks nice.
Thank you.
It looks great.
Well,
we can't wait to see you out and about.
Right? It'll be fun to meet everybody.
Well, for sure, we'll see you in Dallas, but we definitely got to try to see you sooner.
Right. Send me the information for Friday.
Absolutely.
Speaking of Dallas, this is a great time to remind our viewers and listeners that we're going to be, all three of us are going to be at the Texas AuthorCon, or is it Book Festival and AuthorCon now?
AuthorCon and Book Festival, I believe.
Okay.
Because we're still calling it AuthorCon on TikTok, because I've been doing all of our TikTok.
Okay. And that is July, what's the date, y'all?
It's 26th and 27th.
Okay, it's a free event, so I think you can get an e-vite or invite or something like that, or you can just show up. You know, nobody's going to turn.
You can just show up, or eventbrite.com has the free tickets as well if you just need something in your hand to make sure you can get in, kind of thing.
There you go.
Yes, guys.
So come on out. It'll
be a fun weekend.
Yes, it will be a fun weekend.
And
there's like 100 of us, right?
Yeah, it's a gang. It is a lot.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. So I'm just going for the hangout. All right. Thank you so much. And thank you all for watching.
We'll be cutting up, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.